Romans 8:18. There should be a pile of them. There's one that has all of the gifts of 1 Corinthians 14. They kind of be grouped in together with that, maybe. Amen. If not, so be it. All right, Romans 8:18. All right. Look at Romans 8:18. The Bible says, "For I know..." No, that's Romans 7. Romans 8:18. "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." So there's a future glory. And it doesn't say revealed to us. Is heaven going to be glorious? It's going to be awesome. But the glory that Paul is talking about is the glory that God's going to reveal that He put in you the moment you were born again. Just how rich was His salvation. So we've been going through looking at all the things that happened the moment, the very split second that you were born again. What can happen in a split second? Anybody give me an idea? What can happen just in normal life in a split second? An accident, a car accident. You don't have to be looking and all of a sudden... And a crash. Split seconds. A lot can happen. What else can happen in a split second? Electricity is flying around 10,000 miles a second. It's incredibly fast. What else can happen in a split second? Ah, now you're getting spiritual. One of these days we're going to be raptured and we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Excellent. What else can happen in a split second? Lightning? I mean, how fast. I and a friend were walking. We were in the middle of a shopping center, but it was an outdoor shopping center where all of the shops were outside, kind of like the Super Value down here. We're walking along, and our hair, both of our hair, stood up like this. And just as we looked at each other and his hair standing up, he said, "Your hair." And I went, "Your hair." Lightning struck about 30 feet from us. I mean, the only warning was our hair standing up. But that fast. Well, faster than lightning, faster than electricity, God did a lot of things in your life. Blessed you with unbelievable blessings. Now, if you remember, salvation is not a process. Salvation is not a process. Usually, there is a process leading up to it. None of you, the first time you heard the gospel, went, "I'll take it." We all went, "How dare he say I'm a sinner on my way to hell?" There's a process of wearing down to where you realize, you know, I don't like it, but the Bible is right. And that leads up to salvation. And there's a lot of growth after salvation, isn't there? We didn't instantly become perfect the moment we were saved, did we? No, there's a lot of growth. But the moment that you were born again, it happened instantly. It was completely, amazingly dramatic. All right? It was just done. Now, what all happens at the moments of salvation? You couldn't time it before it all was done. Everything we're going through was done before the clock ticked 1 second. So, if you remember, we talked about that salvation happens. I mean, Kathy just said it. You know, "I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad, praising God for my salvation." She's not praising God for the process of salvation. "I'm glad I'm working my way to heaven. I'm glad I get the chance to endure to the end." You didn't say that, did you? You're saved, aren't you? "I'm glad it's done." So salvation happens. We're saved. What does saved mean? It means we're saved from the wrath to come. So we've been delivered from God's wrath. We now have a new family. So, secondly, we've been reconciled to God. What a crazy thought that we who were enemies of God, He calls friends. He actually calls family. Third thing, we've been made eternally secure. I think I told you guys the illustration. It was really cute how Brother Davis thought he lost his phone. You remember that illustration? That I thought, I'm going to use that illustration a lot. We had been jumping in and out of the car all the way through the gap on Dunlow. I think I counted about 45 times. We had jumped out for him to take a picture, and then he jumped back in the car. And then he said, "I can't find my phone." And I started just dreading we'd have to go back and follow him down these little paths and try to find out where he might have dropped his phone. And as he got back to the car, and you could see him sullen, he's going, he's checking in his pockets and everything. His wife says, "What's wrong?" He says, "I think I lost my phone." She says, Nope, I had it all along." "You gave it to me, remember?" And he went, "Ah." And I said, "That's just like salvation. We can go through life bouncing around, up and down, feeling good, feeling bad, feeling lost, feeling saved. Doesn't matter. You feel like you lose your salvation? Just ask the Lord." He says, "I still got it. You gave it to me, didn't you? You gave me your soul. I will not lose it. I will not drop it." So we've been made eternally secure in God's care. We looked at all the scriptures. We have heavenly citizenship. Some of us have three citizenships. Amen? 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 We got three citizenships. I'm Texan. Actually, I got four. I'm Texan, American, I'm Irish, and I have a heavenly citizenship. I have been granted. I'm a citizen of heaven. They cannot refuse me. So we've been given heavenly citizenship, and we got a whole new life. The moment you got saved, all things became what? New. Everything became new. And so all of these things we've got to talk about, and we got a new birth. Our spirit was regenerated. We got our name written down in heaven. All of those incredible, great truths. Now let's go to where we're going tonight, and that is we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Now I looked this up. Now I don't know if this is European or English, but in American Sign Language, this means equal. All right, that's what that symbol means. Had you known that, Nita? I knew something you didn't know. Allison, do you know what equal is in Irish Sign Language or UK Sign Language? Okay, well, that we'll go with it right now. Think about this. Let's go to go to Romans chapter 8, first of all. Romans chapter 8, we're there in verse 17. Romans 8, 17, and I'll start with, we'll have fun over here. Brother Dan, Romans 8, 17. And would you read that?
"And children and heirs of God, and joint heirs of Christ, it could be that we suffer with him when he makes the rest of the world altogether."
It is an amazing thing that he calls this, the Bible says that we are heirs of God. You know what that means? We have a permanent inheritance from God. We have all that he has. That blows me away. Romans 8:32, Kathy, would you read that? Still in chapter 8, 32. All right. You think the planet Earth is big? It's pretty big, isn't it? I mean, you're flying in the airplane and let's see, you flew from Michigan to Chicago, probably, right? And then Chicago to London? Chicago to D.C.? I'm sad, but anyway, that's terrible. But anyway, you got out of there, and you went where? Where'd you land there? You landed in Dublin, okay. So as you're flying over, and you see this big planet underneath you slowly moving under you, it's a huge planet. You know what the Bible says? If God gave his son, Kathy, it's nothing for him to give you the world, or to give you anything. This universe doesn't equal the value of his son. He proves that we have all that he has. If he gave us his son, there's nothing he's going to hold back from us. Is that blowing you away? Don't you ever let the devil get you depressed for more than an hour, if not 15 minutes. You ought to just kick yourself around the block and go, "I'm blessed! Amen! I'm an heir of God!" So, let's look at another verse. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Miss Nita, Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Are there any blessings that he's holding out on us? All spiritual blessings. Matter of fact, you know, if the world says, "Oh, you're missing out on this, if you're missing out on that," If I am missing out on it, and if God doesn't give it to me, it ain't worth having. Because I have all the good stuff. He has given us all spiritual blessings. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Maisie, I'll get your name right. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 21 to 23, if you don't mind reading. We like putting our visitors on the spot. 1 Corinthians 3, 21 to 23. That is a lot of stuff. Amen? Don't let anybody glory in anything you see because you already own it. It's already given to you. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. And I don't remember your name all of a sudden. Diana. All right, 1 Peter 1, 3 to 4. Amen. Okay, Diana, I'm sure you wake up some mornings and you look around and you go, I don't have much. Where does God say He has the best blessings waiting for you? Reserved in heaven for you. So one of these days, God's going to show you how much He owns and He says, and it's all yours. So our eyes may tell us, I don't have much. But the Bible tells us, you have it all. You're an heir of God. I can't comprehend that. I can't begin to comprehend that. But it doesn't stop there. It even says we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Now, I am not really the Son of God. I'm the son of William and Barbara Ledbetter. But 33 years ago, I was adopted. You know what's cool about being adopted? The natural born son with all the rights that he has and all the privileges he has is not superior to the adopted son. I am equal in value to God as his son. I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ. So it's not going to be, you know, multi-levels in heaven of, well, you know, like Christmas, you know, what did you get? And what did you get? No. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Listen to these words. We're joint heirs as sons, and the moment we get to heaven, I wonder, but I'm believing that we're all going to get there and the Lord's not going to be ashamed of us because He can be ashamed of us. We can embarrass the Lord. But we'll only embarrass Him as sons. The fact that we get to heaven and we're joined, Jesus greets us as an equal. This blows me away. I hope it blows you away that we are in a good place. And really what's amazing is the New Testament is proof of that. Why is it called the Testament? Anybody know whenever we use the word Testament, what other time do we use that word in normal life? And a testament actually is a directive. It actually directs that whatever they owned is going to such and such a person or whoever. And Jesus Christ, who is eternal life, when He died, He directed by His last will and testament that it be delivered to anybody who would receive it. And the New Testament proves that I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ. This dust ball of a human being is honored as a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You can't buy this, folks. You can't earn any of this. It is inherited to the death of God's Son. Let's see, Jennifer, would you look at Hebrews 9 and verse 15? Go back a few pages. Hebrews 9 and verse 15. There's that inheritance again. This concept of Jesus is the mediator of a New Testament. The Old Testament, boy, it condemned us. It judged us. We were unworthy. But Jesus died, and that by means of His death, He paid for all of those past sins so that we might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Colossians 3 and verse 24, Andrew. Colossians 3, 24. Word again. It's throughout the New Testament. what is wild, Ephesians chapter 1, let's see. I'm going to get Myra, if you will read verse 13 and 14. Ephesians chapter 1, go back a few pages to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. And I want you to see that you only have a taste of what you're going to get in the future. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. So the Holy Spirit guarantees that it's only going to get better. He is the earnest. See, they still use that term where you do an earnest payment on a house or a deposit payment on a house. It's the beginning of all the rest of the payments that are going to come later. And the Holy Spirit in our life, and I think that's a pretty good deal. I get the Holy Spirit, but that's only the beginning of what our inheritance is going to include. I think it's breathtaking. You know, I like truth. I like learning what really happened, no matter how I feel. Because how I feel can go like a yo-yo. And let's see if I have another verse here. Yes, Galatians 3:29, Brother Dennis. Galatians 3, back a few pages, 3 and verse 29. And Abraham's proof of it, God promised to Abraham an inheritance. And in the same way, He promises it to us as well. Galatians 3:29. Wow. So if I belong to Jesus Christ, I am now of Abraham's seed. That makes me an heir of all the promises that God promised to Abraham. Have passed down to some stinking Gentile dog like me. That's grace. That's grace. I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Let's move to the next one. What else happened the moment a person gets saved? Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6, Allison. Back to the right. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6. He's raised us up, set us in heavenly places. So here's the thought, as far as God is concerned. Now, where am I right now? I'm about 7 feet from you. You know, I'm in Ballincollig, Cork, Ireland, okay? But as far as God's concerned, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. If any man be in Christ, as far as God's concerned, I'm in Christ. Right, where's Jesus Christ right now? Well, yeah, but he's at the right hand of the Father, isn't he? He's in heaven right now, isn't he? Okay? So if I'm in Christ and he's up there, where am I? He has already seated us in heavenly places. Read it again one more time. Who was reading, Allison? So, you're sitting next to your husband in Ballincollig in the Westgate Foundation, but right now you're actually sitting next to him in heaven, right next to Jesus, right with Jesus Christ, because God sees us through His Son. And if He sees us as in His Son, He's not looking saying, I hope they get here. We're already there. Brother Davis told me a unique story between two preachers. And one of them was called a Methodist. And the other one was B.H. Carroll. He was an amazing Bible-believing Baptist. And the Methodist name was, and I've got his book, Sam Jones was a great preacher, okay? But he believed you could lose your salvation. And B.H. Carroll was there, and they're both seasoned preachers. And B.H. Carroll sat down and was in the audience, listened to him preach. And Sam Jones said, Brother Carroll, if you get to heaven before me, tell him I'm on my way. I'll be there. B.H. Carroll replied, not going to do it. Not going to do it. Well, Sam Jones says, well, this is kind of confusing. So he says, I don't know, maybe you didn't understand me, but, you know, when you get to heaven, if you get to heaven before me, make sure you tell them I'm coming and I'll be there very soon. He says, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. So he tried to preach and he says, why aren't you going to do it? He said, because when I get to heaven, and if I tell them you're coming, and then if you lose your grace and you blow it and you don't get here, then they'll call me a liar and they'll kick me out. Folks, if I'm in Christ, you better listen. It is a done deal as far as God's concerned. I'm not on my way. I'm already there. How can anyone lose their salvation if we're already seated in heavenly places? I'm not on the plane. I'm not in the car. I'm not on a train. I'm not going on a journey. I'm home. As far as God's concerned, this soul is home. Settle it. We're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Next one. Anybody happy? One more. We are complete. We are complete. Colossians 2 and verse 10, Brother Eric. Colossians 2 and verse 10. Wow. Ye are complete in Him. If I'm in Christ, do I lack anything? Wow. I thought, well, you know, I just joined the church, Pastor. I just started discipleship. I feel so incomplete. Yeah, but in Him, you are complete. The moment you got saved, there was nothing more you had to do to be perfect in God's eyes. He perfected you. Now, there's work to be done. Yes. Yes, as far as my spiritual growth here and now, but I can't, are you listening? I can't get God to love me any more than He currently does. He loves me perfectly. I am complete. It's as if I'm the best gift He's ever received, even though I know that can't be true. We are complete. Look at verse 8. Everybody's hiding back there. I'll get Shane, would you read verse 8, Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. I don't want to embarrass anybody. I just like everybody to read. Verse 8, watch this. Philosophy, very good. Okay, so go back to verse 10. It says, you're complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. So beware lest anybody what? Spoil you, ruin you. Get you to think that you're not complete. Don't anybody use philosophy on you. Psychology. You know, I appreciate psychologists and counselors trying to help people, but that book is the thing that'll put your brain together, put your heart together, put your mind together, put your family together, put your life back together. Don't let anybody come along and spoil you through vain deceit, thinking only of yourself. The rudiments, the base things, the animalistic things, don't compare with the completion that we are in Christ. I don't need the world's philosophy. I don't need the tradition of men. And I don't need the rudiments of the world. You know, to be accepted to God, we have been accepted, haven't we? We have been accepted. You know what made you accepted? Your faith. What did you have to do to believe? Just believe. You didn't have to sweat. You didn't have to work. You didn't have to climb some mountain on your knees and on your feet. Bare feet. To be accepted to God, you just had to believe. Now, whatever you were looking for, hey, let me get up here. We lack nothing compared to this world. I mean, the world may have the big buildings. One of these days we're going to have a building, but it will never compete with the other buildings that are out there and the great accomplishments of religious leaders. What's the name of that big church in Paris? Sacre Coeur. How long had that been building? They built it like for 300 years they were working on the thing. And think about it. Comparing to the world, folks, we lack nothing. Even if we never get a building. Even if we, like Hebrews chapter 11, we find ourselves destitute, living in tents, running with nothing, having our lives taken from us, we still beat the world. We still beat them. We lack nothing compared to the world. We lack nothing to be accepted to God. You may wake up and go, God, you must be very upset at me. Lord, I probably blew it. Oh, Lord, all these things. But you know, Lord says, you're my son. You're my daughter. I may have to chasten you, but I will chasten you as sons out of love and not out of wrath. Amen. You lack nothing to be accepted with God. And whatever we were looking for before we met Jesus Christ. You say, I lack a wife. You know, when you got saved, you really don't have to have a wife to be happy. You might want a wife, but you don't have to have one. You may say, I need a job, and you ought to get a job, but you don't have to have anything to be complete in Christ. The moment you got saved, done. God says, just like I wanted. I give you the illustration of if I go looking for a tie. Gentlemen, does anybody else have problems finding a tie that they like? I can't do it. I mean, I go looking. I remember when you gave me this watch. I mean, I go looking at watches and I go, I look at a tie and I go, what do you think? Nita goes, and I'm like, But if my kids bring me a tie at Christmas, because I need some more, and I open up the box, and it's yellow and pink and blue and red, but you know what? It's perfect. I couldn't have done that if I tried. Dan knows I had a wore-out old watch when you guys bought me this thing for my birthday years ago. When he brought it to me, I looked at it and went, it's just what I wanted. I couldn't ask for a better watch. Now, those are simple little illustrations that because it's a gift. And I, to God, am equal to a perfect gift. I don't understand that. But it makes me want to shout. Okay? Whatever was lacking before ain't lacking now. There are no missing pieces. I know there's a lot of missing pieces up here. There are missing pieces in our lives as far as horizontally, but when God looks at me, He looks through His perfect Son and He goes, wow, they look pretty good to me. Hallelujah. All right, we're going to stop. Let's all stand.